A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was standing one day by the lake of Gennesaret with the crowd pressing round him, listening to the word of God, when he caught sight of two boats close to the bank. The fishermen had gone out of them were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, it was Simon's, and asked them to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and pay out your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all night long and caught nothing. If you say so, I'll pay out the nets." When they'd done this, they netted such a huge number of fish that the nets began to tear. So they signaled to their companions in the other boat to come and help them. When these came, they filled the two boats to sinking point. When Simon and Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Leave me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were overcome completely by the catch they had made. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. But Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on it is men you will catch." Then bringing their boats back to the land, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. In the Roman Empire, even the late Roman Empire, when we're considering St. Patrick of the 5th century, education was still the key to success, to all the good things the empire had to offer. It was a rather different education from the modern world's idea of education. It was very literary. It involved a great deal of practice at speaking, of making speeches, of rhetoric, memorizing poetry. And those who managed to go through this grueling, demanding system of education would speak a Latin which was complex in its grammar, its vocabulary, and rather different from ordinary spoken Latin. The Latin of written works that we have today, very different from the way ordinary Romans spoke. But this meant that having completed their education, they could go anywhere in the Roman Empire. And the moment they opened their mouths, they were immediately seen to be part of the ruling classes, the establishment. The way they spoke made them one with all others who were rich and powerful and in control. Education, in this sense, was not just something you proved by showing diplomas, but you proved by the way you lived, the way you behaved, the way you spoke, the way you were. Today's feast, Patrick, is about a man who missed out on that education. It's the late end of the Roman Empire. The empire already is starting to crack, though most scholars agree it was still fairly intact, the middle of the 5th century. But education was still something that you had to have at a certain stage in your life as a child. Patrick missed out on this. We can tell this from his famous work, I, Patrick, a Sinner. Not only because he complains or apologizes for his lack of education, his lack of capacity to speak, but also because the very language of this great work, the Confessions of St. Patrick as it's called, shows the lack of veneer, the lack of that grueling, intensive education that even in this late stage of the empire, Patrick's contemporaries would have had. In a strange way, though, this lack of education was part of what brought Patrick to the height of sanctity, opened him to the mission for which he was called, and indeed affects all the world to this day. Because it's the simplicity that opens him up to the sense of God's presence in his experience. If you know the story, Patrick tells how he was captured by the Irish, what we call the Irish, the people of that island, and was forced to be a slave, taken across the waters from Britain to this part of Europe, which had never been properly taken over by the Romans. They may have landed there occasionally, but they certainly never conquered it, never Romanized it. And yet it was as a young lad, as a slave, missing out on this education that his contemporaries were having, Patrick discovered the reality of the living God. He discovered it quite simply in prayer. And the crudity of his experience, of his explanation of his experience itself, makes it more real. He saw Christ as being like a man inside him praying. He talks about how his prayers were answered in very concrete ways. The first prayer which was answered was when he escaped from Ireland. The people took him in a boat, and he felt that he'd been told in prayer what should happen, and he prayed that they would take him, find himself in a state of hunger, and they say, "If you're a man of prayer, pray for us." It's very simple. He himself is a bit ashamed. He calls himself not just peccator, sinner, but also rusticissimus, the most rustic of people, most educated. And yet you feel he has much to say about Christ purely from experience. It says of a living God. He doesn't quite escape from the pool of paganism either. At times you can see he's tempted to revert to pagan ways, possibly the ways of he discovered among the people of Ireland. He's tempted to pray to the sun. And yet it's God within him, the experience of God, that gives him power. It makes him this great missioner. He has a vision which somewhat similar to Paul's vision. The Irish called to him in the way that Paul believed that a Greek man was calling to him in a dream. Paul, the very educated, very sophisticated theologian, responds to the dream by preparing a mission. Whereas Patrick has to respond by not so much going off on a mission he feels he's called to, but once more agreeing to leave behind his family, whom he'd been reunited with, and once more to miss the chance of that education that meant so much in his time. And Patrick comes back to Ireland. It's really later legend that makes Patrick into the evangelizer of the whole of Ireland. But clearly he managed to create a flock. And there's, well, it's true there are many places associated with Ireland, in Ireland with Patrick, that we might doubt to be all that clearly associated with him. There's that presence. The one thing we should understand, though, is that he's very much a man of the coast of the sea, because everyone was. Patrick himself spends a great deal of time in boats in his memoirs. It's often in the boats that he's most tempted. That's quite reasonable. That's the way people lived then. After Patrick's time, the Irish Sea, the area between Ireland, Wales, Western Scotland, became known as the Celtic Mediterranean because monks would crisscross it carrying knowledge and information to each other, ways of praying, ways of encouraging each other. And as such, the Irish Sea was the world of Patrick, but also later St. David of Wales. And quite possibly some of the Welsh-speaking saints up in the north. The sea was a great crossroads. And Patrick's part of that. So today's gospel is not far off from the life of Patrick. He was a man who experienced the turbulence of the sea, the fear of the sea, also its wonder and its convenience and its beauty and its glory. In all these things he found God. The simplicity of his confessions is a simplicity that would have been lost if he'd been too educated, too sophisticated. In fact, it's how he's able to live outside of the confines of the Roman Empire. The great problem with Roman Christians is they're quite happy to convert their own society, their own safe world, but weren't willing to go beyond that. The great paradox is that peoples outside of the Roman Empire, the people dismissed as barbarians, when they received the faith through various circumstances, as the Roman Empire started to crack and fail, they were the people who carried the faith further than the confines of the ancient empire, beyond anything that could been imagined by Romanized Christians, because they understood that the great gift cannot be held for yourself, it must be shared. And Patrick himself understood that. It's a very sad book, The Confessions, a short book. It's a sad book about someone who knows he's lost out in many of the great and good things of his life. It's also a triumphant book, a hopeful book. He knows that the big things aren't education, veneer, culture, civilization. The presence of God, as he put it, the man inside. Patrick teaches us to this day to learn to pray always, to pray in the joy of the Spirit, and then to share our faith. This way, we win the world, a greater world than the Romans could ever have known.